calls today for anti-Brexit parties to unite behind a candidate to take on Ian Paisley if a by-election is called in North Antrim. The Irish News reports that the SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood, has written to other Stormont Party leaders urging a Brexit alliance if the DUP MP is forced to resign following his 30-day suspension from Parliament. The SDLP MLA, Claire Hannah, with us this morning. Good morning to you, Claire.
Morning.
Good morning. And the commentator, Nelson McCausland. Nelson, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Claire, what's happening? What's your leader done?
Well, he's written to the other parties. The proposal is pretty straightforward. Ian Paisley has to go. People have to be able to have faith in their political leaders that they are beyond reproach and transparent, particularly about their financial dealings. And I don't think that's the case here. And with the parliamentary arithmetic so tight in Westminster, amid all of the political chaos, it makes perfect sense for those who want to positively influence Brexit to collaborate. And if anybody ever asks you, what's the issue in Northern Ireland? How is it that you end up with no government for 500 days? And I think you could show them yesterday's front pages where it said Sinn Féin will unseat Paisley. That was two parties very neatly lining up a sectarian headcount in this coming by-election, where both would be absolutely guaranteed their campaign. People would be very motivated to come out and vote and unseat, you know, whichever of them they like least. And the issue of Brexit would be practically brushed to the side, and the outcome of that election in either scenario would be that the voices and the needs of people on Brexit here would not be represented in Westminster afterwards. And we're trying to take this opportunity in a time of such turbulence and such political change.
To do exactly what every other party does. You're trying to use a situation for political gain. Is this anything to do with you caring about the country, caring about your values around Brexit, or is this to do with the SDLP also trying to politically point score?
The political gain for everybody here who are, as we know, the region most at risk from a disastrous, chaotic Brexit. And that's the gain that we're trying to reinsert back into what otherwise would be a straight-up sectarian headcount.
Nelson?
Well, I think the interesting thing here is that in the case of North Antrim, first of all, it's one of the most pro-Brexit constituencies in the whole of the United Kingdom. Very, very strongly pro-Brexit. Secondly, one has to look here at why it is that the SDLP would come forward with this suggestion at this time. And if you look at the figures for the last Westminster election in 2017, the DUP topped the poll there with 58.9, almost 60% of the votes in that constituency. Sinn Féin came second with 16%. And you have to go right down to the very bottom, and then you come to the SDLP with 5.3%. It was a drop from 7% in the previous election, the previous time. So this is a constituency where the SDLP is extremely weak. And I think that they would be struggling. They don't have an MLA in the constituency. They don't have a ready-made candidate with a profile to come forward. They will find themselves in difficulty regarding a candidate. I would also suggest, and I don't have the details of their party finances, but having lost their seats at Westminster, that has an undoubted effect on the finances of any political party, and therefore the cost of funding an election on their own would be considerable, I think.
Yeah, but they're talking about a joint candidate, aren't they?
They are, which would mean that the cost of running a campaign would be spread across a number of parties and not simply fall on one party.
Claire?
Well, that's Nelson taking the electorate completely for granted, as per usual.
No, I'm just...
These were the numbers, let me speak, these were the numbers in the past. And again, only thinking in a tiny, tiny worldview that this is about party political fortunes and making sure that the exact same guy who's been there for decades gets in, when it's not. It's about bigger issues. It's about Brexit. It should be about an election where, fine, if Ian Paisley, well, not fine, I think it's completely ridiculous, but if the DUP insists on running him again, fine, but now is the time to start to explain what you're doing on Brexit. And I think what Nelson wants is a campaign where that doesn't happen, where no challenging voice will be in there to say, no, let's make this about Brexit. Let's not make it about a popularity contest. Let's not make it about retrospectively endorsing.
Surely the role of who is the best MP for the area is much more than Brexit. When someone is looking at who the best MP should be, they should be looking beyond Brexit.
You're absolutely right. But if you look at any of the parliamentary,
are you shipping it around Brexit then?
Because if you go and look at the last 2 years worth of votes, worth of legislation, worth of committee work on Brexit, there is almost literally nothing else going on in the UK Parliament. It's unprecedented, actually, when you think of all the other issues, all the other policies, all the other departmental priorities. It's very clear, nobody would deny this, Brexit has subsumed every other political debate. So absolutely, and I do not deny the vital community and on the ground and constituency work element of an MP's work, but in terms of their parliamentary work, it is almost exclusively Brexit, as I say. Almost nothing else is going on. So for that issue to be brushed
aside... What do you
hope
to achieve? Let's say you got some type of Wonder Man or Wonder Woman to be espousing your values around Brexit. What are you actually... You know, you want a Brexit alliance. What are you wanting to achieve? You lost the referendum. So what are you wanting to achieve?
I don't know if you've been in a coma for the last 2 years, but it's not that... You know, that those who believe that this is a disaster for Northern Ireland, a disaster for all of both of these islands, haven't just packed up and gone away. There is an extensive amount of debate, because we know that I don't doubt that the Leave vote won the referendum, and I think it was about 64-65% in North Antrim. But there is an intensive amount of debate on how exactly to do this, because as we know, people like Ian Paisley, who advocate leaving at all costs, and people like Nelson, who said he doesn't care what the scenario is afterwards so long as he's left Brexit, have not in any way articulated what that Brexit looks like.
Let you respond to that, Nelson.
There will be a variety of votes on what that Brexit looks like. It doesn't have to be the most, you know, extreme punch yourself in the face Brexit that the DUP are.
What you really mean is it doesn't have to be Brexit, don't you? That's what you really mean. You're trying to undo the vote of the people.
I'm not saying, if we could stop Brexit tomorrow, I would be delighted to do that. But if there is going to be a Brexit, and I don't deny that 17 million people voted for Brexit, albeit there was lying through people's teeth in terms of what it would look like. A majority of people.
Yeah, because Remain didn't lie.
Sorry, what lie did Remain tell?
Well, I'm sure there was exaggeration on both sides.
Well,
Project Fear, for example. What would happen after the referendum? I'm now telling you. I hosted programmes where Remainers predicted that the day after a referendum, if that vote were to be for Brexit, that the country would fall apart, that the stock market would collapse.
It never happened. Who said it and what did they say? Because that sounds like you're trying to get out of it now. You've said that Remainers lied, and then you're trying to retrospectively fabricate something here. Tell me what the person said.
Do you remember George Osborne predicting that the economy would crash?
Have you forgotten that?
Has the economy crashed?
I remember a variety. We haven't Brexited yet, Stephen. We haven't left yet. I remember, and look at the economy. You know, look at the fact that it went from being the fastest growing economy to the slowest in Europe. And I think
the Treasury got unemployment predictions wrong. The Treasury got GDP wrong. You know, we could list.
Bear in mind, we haven't Brexit yet. If you want, this is exactly what I want us to do, Stephen. I want us to talk about Brexit in this by-election campaign. I don't want us to talk about traditional DUP Sinn Féin ding-dong issues, which is what it would be if both of them neatly engineer this to be just a head-count fight. The result, regardless of what votes, and as I say, don't take the electorate for granted. We know that plates are shifting. Regardless of the debate, the outcome couldn't possibly be a candidate that is prepared to at least be rational.
So Nelson, in another Brexit twist yesterday, we then
could I just come back on points there about that? Yeah, thanks. identified there are two issues that I think are driving the SDLP proposal, and they are around the finances of the party and the absence of a really strong candidate. The SDLP in Northern Antrim is very much a party in decline. If you look also there at the statement, and I noticed there in the newspaper some words from Claire Hannah herself. She said about having an MP that would represent the interests of the people in Northern Ireland at this critical time. And I think buried in there is a bit of a political dig at Sinn Féin, because, of course, Sinn Féin are an abstentionist party.
It's not buried. It's really overt.
Thank you very much. It confirms the point. It wasn't very overt insofar as it didn't name Sinn Féin. That's the point I'm making.
No, it's saying that nobody is speaking.
Sorry, if you could just...
Let's let them finish.
Yes. The extract that I saw in the newspaper simply picked up on that phrase, represent the interests of the people. I interpreted that as meaning Sinn Féin, who do not attend. And in fact, Claire Hannah has confirmed that that was indeed the case, that is a go at Sinn Féin. So this is an attack on other parties, whilst at the same time portraying the SDLP as a party that wants to reach out and be inclusive and be cohesive. And I think also there's an element here of it helps to keep the pot boiling regarding Brexit, because the SDLP is a party that wants to reverse, undo the result of the UK referendum. They're a party that wants to subvert the decision that was made by the electorate in the United Kingdom to leave the EU. And all of this helps to keep the issue alive and create a sense of instability and uncertainty. And that feeds into a narrative that very much suits the Remainers.
Well, when you talk about a sense of instability, we then hear the Prime Minister tell Channel 5 News yesterday, confirm to Channel 5 News, that the government is stockpiling food and medicine in the event of a hard Brexit. Let's have a listen.
Your health secretary said yesterday you are stockpiling medicines and blood products. This is alarming to people at home. First of all, are you doing that? And what do you say to people who are going to say, I'm getting worried by this sort of preparation?
Far from being worried about preparations that we're making, I would say that people should take reassurance and comfort from the fact that the government is saying we're in a negotiation, we're working for a good deal, I believe we can get a good deal, but actually it's right that we say, because we don't know what the outcome is going to be, we think it's going to be a good one, we're working for a good one, but let's prepare for every eventuality.
So the government is stockpiling medicines and blood products. Can we have an answer to that? The government is doing that.
Look, this is not just about stockpiling. That concept, what it is about making sure that we'll be able to continue to do the things that are necessary once we've left the European Union, if we leave without a deal. Now, I think people should take reassurance from the fact that this is a government that's saying, you know what, we're going to be responsible about this, we're going to be sensible about this, but while we're doing that, we're going to work for a really good deal that's in the interests of people living here in the UK.
Well, you Brexiteers, Nelson McCausland, and I can't remember you telling us before the referendum that we would have to stockpile food and medicine.
Well, I think, first of all, that the position of the government in regard to how they've handled a lot of this has not been particularly adept. It has been badly handled. There's no doubt about that. I think even the most enthusiastic Brexiteer would look at and say that in a whole range of ways, the government has been, I think, below par in handling it. Obviously, if there is...
Is your party not helping pull some of the strings?
Pull the strings. First of all, I'm not on here today representing any particular party.
The party with which we know that you support.
Yeah. Well, I think though, if there's questions about that, I think you should put those to the DUP representatives. As regards,
very difficult to Nelson when they won't come on the radio.
Well, that's their choice.
That is their choice.
That is their choice.
That is very much their choice since I did the RHI coverage, isn't it?
I'm sure, Stephen, you
I'm sure that's for a wider discussion, but carry
I'm
on.
Sure, I'm sure that's indeed a delight to you to be able to mention that issue again this morning. Now, as regards handling of the issues there regarding bicycling, they have been handled well. It would be logical that if you are going into any situation, you look at all the scenarios, you look at all the options, you look at all the possibilities. Indeed, that was one of the criticisms of David Cameron, that he went into a referendum without having the thing properly thought out. He was criticised for that, for not doing that. Now Theresa May is being criticised for doing it. But I think how they communicate their preparations, their planning, their options, hasn't been particularly good. There's no doubt about that.
Let me bring in some callers this morning, and then, of course, we'll come back. Fran, North Belfast. Morning, Fran.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I don't think it's really anything to do with Brexit. Ian Paisley wasn't forced into an unparalleled suspension by the British Parliament because of his view or his vote on Brexit. It's because he brought himself, his party, his constituency in Parliament into dispute with his actions and his choices over lobbying on behalf of the Sri Lankan government and indeed accepting those pay for holidays for himself and his family. So I personally don't see how Brexit really comes into this. I agree with a lot of the calls for a single candidate to stand up against Ian Paisley to give the voters in North Antrim a choice, and I believe that shouldn't be a Remainer Brexiteer battle. That should be a battle between people who believe in honesty and integrity in politics and those who believe the politics may be used for self-aggrandisement.
And George in the Shankill. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. A wee shot at how silly and stupid this plan is. Now, this is not a dig at Clare, because I like Clare, and I think she does good work for her constituency, so it falls to Colm. But let's just look at this in a scenario. For the UUP to enter into a pact here, it would be political suicide for them. So therefore, you're looking at the SDLP alliance, and most importantly, Sinn Féin. So you'd be asking the good folk of Ian Paisley's constituency to vote for a candidate backed by Sinn Féin. And then you'd have to look at Sinn Féin. The candidate that was put forward, would Sinn Féin be backing them going to Parliament, or would be still backing abstentionism? So therefore, it's a wild, wild idea that's going to gather no moss whatsoever, it'll gather no legs, and it just can't happen, you know, just for those reasons alone.
John in Newton Abbey. Morning, John. Hello, John. Not there. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen. You know, I personally think, I think it's an opportunity now for us all to read exactly what is going on with the Brexit, because we've been told more often than not that if the vote was taken again, we may get a different result.
Well, we may not.
Well, no, but I mean, I'm not saying a different result as in unionists going to nationalists. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you may get a different result where people have changed their mind about Brexit. You know, and I think that if they are going to do that, then they need to get an independent unionist person to stand for that there, because after all, it is a predominantly unionist constituency.
John, know, so. Thank you. Eamon in Lisburn. Morning, Eamon.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Eamon.
I feel there's a wider issue to be had here. I think Clare, the SLP there, she's fighting an argument that can't be won.
Why?
We don't have a devolved government. We're not going to make much of an impact at Westminster anyway, and Westminster can't even seem to make a good job of negotiating a good deal of Brexit. So I think we need to, first of all, work at getting our own government back up and running. But to do that, I think, first of all, we need to publish where the funding from these parties comes from. The Ian Paisley scandal in the last couple of days has revealed that there's money coming from places for lobbying to be done. What's happening in our own country?
Claire?
Well, I think there's a few issues there, and just in your last caller is right. I mean, don't we absolutely need to get devolution up and running? But if you look at last week or the week before, votes were going down to 2 and 3 MPs. That's how tight it is in the arithmetic there. And remember that in the last Westminster election here, I remember being laughed at, and I think it might have been this programme, for the suggestion the Northern Irish MPs might ever hold anything like the balance of power. Right. So that's how close it is. So one less extreme Brexiter and one more, even if they're voting, you know, for a more nuanced Brexit, is definitely has the potential to be influential. Nelson said that it was a direct attack on Sinn Féin. It was a direct attack on the DUP and Sinn Féin, who are two sides of the same coin on this issue, and who are misrepresenting or not representing people at Westminster on the issue of Brexit. But the bigger picture is that, you know, there are a lot of decisions to be made. And Nelson just said there, you know, it's a current issue and people need to look at all the scenarios and all the options and all the pathways. But at the moment, the DUP strategy has to be to rule out most of those pathways, to rule out anything regarding alignment with the single market or customs union. So they're not even looking at the open scenarios. And in terms of who the candidate is, there's literally no name in the frame. And the previous caller said, you know, that it would become a sectarian headcount. And this is about making it do the exact opposite. I would not envisage it being a party political member or somebody who had previously been associated with one of the parties. There are some really, really strong voices in other sectors that aren't politics, who have the technical information and the potential for buy-in, the potential for this not just to become a sectarian ding-dong.
Nelson?
I was struck there by something that your first caller, Fraal from North Belfast, made, and then it was followed on by a comment made by your last caller. Fraal made the point about effectively an alliance for integrity. That's the sort of thing that he was talking about. And I find that interesting because what you're having is an alliance for integrity involving Sinn Féin. And then you would words come to my mind, Northern Bank, and then that good Republican that Gerry Adams talked about called Slab Murphy. And then I think about integrity and I don't quite get it. And then you get the last caller who talked about transparency in finances. Oh, sorry, those words come back to my mind again. Northern Bank robbery. And those words again of Gerry Adams, that good Republican Slab Murphy. So we're into an area here where people may talk about financial transparency, they may talk about integrity, but if you're talking about those things, you certainly have to keep in mind Sinn Féin is probably the most culpable party anywhere in the British.
And Sinn Féin, were they on the radio this morning, Nelson, might be saying, when we talk about transparency over financial matters, was there transparency over what was happening with the RHI issue? Well, are we finding out a lot more detail now from that inquiry, including Andrew Crawford,
DUP handing over documents
to members of his family, including Arlene Foster, the DUP leader, not having read documents before talking to the public about them.
Many people would actually find it interesting to reflect, as many are now, on your version, on your programme, day after day after day. And then the version that's now appearing, which is much more nuanced, complex.
Is it?
Well, sorry, Stephen. We could get into a programme about that. I'm sure you'd enjoy that because it is one of the most favoured subjects on your part. But nevertheless, we're here this morning to discuss an election, potential by-election in North Antrim. We're here also to discuss Brexit. And maybe it is we could get back to that and just explain ourselves a wee bit. Thank you.
Hold on. And then, of course, we will move on. The Nolan Show stands over our coverage. Stands over our coverage on RHI. And where you raise concerns, as you are absolutely entitled to do, about what some people might be saying, there are also some people saying, now that they've seen the inquiry, that maybe we did not investigate hard enough.
Well, that's an interesting point, and one that I would honestly disagree with, because a bit more thorough investigation might well have actually created something that we get now, which is the detailed, more complex, and I think nuanced picture that's emerging. But however, as I said already, I know we're not discussing it. You've managed to mention the term there,
in the context of you suggesting, I know you want to get away from the Northern Bank robbery and Slab Murphy, but could we get back to what we're really here to talk about?
Yeah, well, I think that's reasonable. That here's how we do that, rather than simply get back to self-justification.
I want to come back in.
Right. So, well, I haven't given you a chance to make my points properly yet.
Yes, okay, well, go ahead.
Thank you. In terms of integrity and transparency and the alliance, if that's what Fraal and the last caller were thinking of, well, your difficulty there is that the largest party after the DUP in North Antrim is Sinn Féin. You couldn't leave them out of the alliance, and therefore the whole concept that they're basing their ideas on are lacking any validity. Okay. The fact is that, going back to the original point,
yes,
the SDLP clearly want to avoid an election there. The cost would be considerable. The manpower to mount the campaign is considerable. I don't think that they have a strong candidate. They don't have the money. They don't have the resources.
Well, let's let Claire respond to that.
They're right at the bottom, 5.3%. They can't even get up to 6% and all.
Let's let Claire respond.
I think this is exactly illustrating my point. This conversation is practically a trailer for the campaign ahead of us. Nelson cannot or will not lift his sights beyond the nuances of party political fortunes or stuff Sinn Féin has done in the past, neither of which I'm denying. The SLP doesn't have an MLA in North Antrim, and I'm not here to give any reference for Sinn Féin. But listen, the clip you just played, the UK Prime Minister is talking about stockpiling blood and food. Should this not tell us that there is a current issue here that is very live and that should be discussed, should be interrogated, should be turned over? The options, the interests of Northern Ireland should be discussed. But instead, what we will have, if it does stuff become the standard ding-dong, we will have people like Nelson, because obviously nobody else in the DUP comes on your programme, just making it about past misdeeds of others, obviously glossing over past misdeeds of his own party. And the detail and the choices in front of us on Brexit have not had any sort of an airing. And that's exactly what we're trying to avoid in an unprecedented political time.
Dawn in Belfast. Morning, Dawn.
Brexit. Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Dawn.
I despair just talking about Ian Paisley and RHI and Nelson McCausland says Northern Bank and Gerry Adams. Yeah. That is why I agree with Cara Hannah. It's a really good idea. It's long past time that people here, I think, have a choice beyond the old past, green, orange. It's what parties in the UK, in Westminster are doing, whether Labour, Conservative or Lib Dem. They're coming together and they're talking about candidates who represent an alliance of people who want the choice to vote for saving this country from the disaster that it does seem to be heading for over the last 2 years. There's no doubt about it. So I agree. Give the people a
what
choice.
What disaster? Stop talking the country down, some people might argue.
I'm not talking
what
any
disaster?
Country down.
Where's the
Look
disaster?
At the last 2 years. Look at the past 2 years. It's been desperate. People are leaving. People are going to live in the Republic or in elsewhere in the EU. I lived in England for 15 years. I lived in London. And I can tell you, the place is just, you know it, you hear it, you even hear it from the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. And it's 2 years on. They're talking about in a couple of months' time, it seems to be very clear that everybody is just going to be brought into this nowhere land, and at the same time,
okay.
Other countries are getting on with their lives and their futures.
Well, let me just draw a parallel from what you're doing, in that you're using the word disaster. You're predicting even more of a disaster. And let's look at what the HM Treasury analysis was, right, of the immediate impact of leaving the EU. This was a government assessment. HM Treasury assessment in May 2016, and they used the language. I'll actually read from what they say. They said the immediate. They said that under any alternative relationship with Europe, we would trade less, we would do less business, we would receive less investment. Its central estimate was that Britain would be permanently poorer by the equivalent of £4,300 per household by 2030. They said a vote to leave would represent an immediate and profound shock to the economy. They said GDP would be 3.6% smaller. And so it went on and on. Here's what actually happened. All right. Unemployment, when those claims were made, 4.9%. What do the latest figures show? Unemployment's actually fallen to 4.3%. Hold on. GDP, 479,693 million. Latest figures, it's gone up. Hasn't gone down, gone up. Despite these predictions that the immediate impact of the referendum.
Stephen, the obvious point...
Real wages? You might not want to hear this, Claire. Real wages was 101.5. Latest figures, 101.2. The point I'm trying to make is that the doom merchants who predicted that there was going to be disaster after the referendum, after the Brexit vote, reality is it didn't happen.
No, Stephen, it wasn't after the vote. It wasn't after June 2016. It was after the UK left the EU.
No, I'm sorry, that's just wrong.
UK is still in. All of those figures you have given are based on the UK still being a member of the EU and continuing to enjoy all of those benefits and rights and opportunities. And those will continue, Dominic Raab said the other day, now until December 2020. So that's great. We have a reprieve. We can continue to enjoy this wonderful, as you say, economic boom while members of the EU. Listen to every big industry and company, what they say, what they are saying about if and when the UK actually leaves the EU, what will happen and what they will do. They will leave. They're leaving already, whether it's Nissan or the huge companies or BMW or those. And you know that. So I don't think it helps to just say, look, this all didn't happen the day after the vote in the referendum. This is 2 years on. Look at the country.
The point I'm trying to make to you is that the impact of the referendum vote has not dampened the economy.
Well, I don't know what dampened the economy means. Northern Ireland has the highest economic inactivity. So, you know, jobless figures can be created and manufactured. People are in zero-hour contracts. People have minimum wage, a huge number of people, millions of people, to get them off the figures for receiving unemployment benefit or whatever it's called now. So the economic inactivity and the opportunities and the prospects for people are, you know, I'm just saying what the MPs in Westminster are standing up and telling us.
And to be fair to you, when I'm reading the top line of this, it says HM Treasury analysis, the immediate economic impact of leaving the EU.
Yes.
Leaving the EU. But the point is, certainly in the build up to leaving the EU, things are not going belly up.
They are, but Stephen,
goodness, let's just stay then.
Claire?
I really don't think you can, with a straight face, say that the picture is rosy economically. And I'm not sure if you have now. That is the report you're reading. The Treasury's own data that, by the way, we had to fight to get to see and to sneak in. And we weren't allowed to take copies of it, but it has since been published, that said, if you look at the status quo, or leaving and staying in the single market, or leaving with no deal, the drops would be like 2%, 4% or 11%. So the Treasury's own data said that if we leave the single market and the customs union, we will take 11% hit. Inflation has increased and has been parked directly at the door of Brexit. The UK's growth has been the slowest. Okay. Invest NI a couple of weeks ago were saying that their foreign direct investment had dropped by 50%. So, I mean, repeating this, everything is rosy in the garden, has no credibility.
Final word
whatsoever.
To you, Nelson.
Well, the caller there talked about parties at Westminster all coming together and how cohesive and wonderful it was. The truth of the matter is, there are deep divisions clearly within the Conservative Party. There are equally deep divisions within the Labour Party, and the Lib Democrats are nowhere to be seen. So therefore, that is not quite the picture that the caller put in. But to get back to the core issue here, the fact of the matter is, this call by Colm Eastwood is simply a diversion from the problems that are faced by the SDLP at the moment. He's trying to buy time. He wants to buy time because he's trying to find some way or other to revive the SDLP. He wants to resuscitate the party, and the attempts of Claire Hannan to divert attention from that, I don't think they really stand up to scrutiny. This is about the fact that they don't have a candidate who's credible. They don't have the cost behind them. Their finances are in difficulty. This is a party that's in difficulty.
This is our dysfunction writ large. Stevie would love nothing more than a sectarian headcount that means that they don't have to discuss Brexit. Because Nelson, it's like getting a child to eat their vegetables, trying to get Nelson to talk about
Brexit. Would Claire Hannah deny that the SDLP has financial problems at the moment?
No, I wouldn't, but I'm not.
So you've admitted they've got financial problems. Have they got an obvious candidate to go forward?
Hold on. Now stop, because I want to ask a question, because we've got to go to the news in a minute. Hold on. When you said there, Claire, when you said that you would not deny the SDLP had financial problems, what are those problems? Let's clear this up.
All I am saying is that, and I say this as a political candidate, if an election was sprung on you tomorrow, elections cost money. If I, as a candidate, had to sudden, oh gosh, I've got to go out and, you know, find or
try and get from the bank or fundraise, whatever it costs, 10, 15 grand. Nobody wants that. That's not what it's about. Fine if you want to go and have the same
But at the end of this interview, Nelson McCausland has said, would you deny the SDLP its financial problems? And you said, no, I wouldn't. What are you aware of?
That the SDLP isn't rolling about in money. There's nothing else. I mean, I'm not on any...
That doesn't mean financial problems.
Well, hang on. I think it does if you don't have a lot of, you know, I haven't got millions in the bank. So, it's financial problems. You can't do all the things you want to do. I'm not on the SDLP executive. I have no idea what the accounts are like. But I think it just shows the myopic nature of Nelson McCausland's DUP. Instead of talking about the future of these islands, all they want to talk about is party political.
It's 20 to 10. Anne-Marie's been sitting here for the last 10 minutes, which gives me no time, Nelson McCausland, to ask you why you're making fat jokes about me and trucks of food being delivered to me.
And I think in a spirit of generosity, I was offering there to create a breakfast, but I just thought that there might be a challenge, of course, to get
shave
it down.
Shave that beard off.
Well, now, it's been there a long time. I think it'll probably be there for a few years more.
Goodbye.
But I'm glad to see, Stephen, that you have a sense of humour.
I do. I need one. I need one.
I think we all do.
Thank you, Nelson. Thank you, Claire.